there could be a point in 2 years where we bring in something drastic and we just ruin footy for a couple of years and we're going to take it out again.
I know Whitey wasn't overly wrapped with the Thursday night footy, but I think it's the best time slot in footy. The
beauty about our club is we rock up to training every day, and training's so fun. Everyone wants to train.
The overwhelming feeling is unsatisfaction, and purely because we were so close to winning the whole thing.
It's an opposition coach who presents every single week, but in the end we play our brand of football the same. I think it's finding work for someone.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
And it's a big welcome back for 2019 to the Breakfast Club Inner Sanctum to Taylor Adams of the Magpies. Good morning, Taylor. Welcome back.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me again. I'm really excited about this year. It's been, 3 years now? 2 years now. And it's been
third year,
awesome.
This is number three,
Half, can I start off by saying congratulations, mate? Super coach. And I've actually got a question for you.
You can, and thank you.
Are you ready?
What's the question? The
question is, how do you stop Aaron Phillips?
That's a bloody good question. It's a question I've been mulling all week. After
have you had
play.
Any sleep?
Not a lot of sleep. I must admit, Whitey's not having sleep. Oh, he's sleeping, dreaming about playing for Victoria in the Sheffield Shield final. I'm not having sleep and having nightmares about Aaron causing havoc on Sunday in the AFLW Grand Final. It is a quandary for the coaching staff at the moment, Taylor, I must admit.
Have you developed a plan?
Have you got one for me? Yeah, I'll throw it back to you.
No, I'm a player, mate, not a coach. I'll leave that to you.
We heard in that grab in the intro, Isaac Smith saying Thursday night footy is outstanding, even though Whitey doesn't like it, was the conversation, I think, on that day. You've got the Tigers tomorrow night. You're not playing, and we'll get to that very shortly, but is Thursday night footy something the players like?
Yeah, I think as players we love it. Just a standalone game. Obviously similar to Friday night, and then we're pretty lucky this week. We play Saturday the following week, so the boys get Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. So it's
Saturday, Sunday off.
Off, yeah. So we do obviously recovery and that sort of thing, but gives the boys a chance to sort of live a normal life on a weekend and spend some time with their loved ones and families.
Righty-o. It just happens to be Richmond though. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's all right.
They're pretty good at the MCG, you know.
Yeah, no. Well, last time we played them there, I think we played all right. So. We're hoping for a replica of that. Obviously, a strong team. And we're looking to bounce back from last week. But, yeah, can't wait.
We'll get to the team shortly. They're not important. You're important. Your finger issue. What's going on? Where are we at with the finger problem that you've got?
I'm certainly progressing. I've had my first day yesterday where I was able to train with the group and mark footies. So that was an improvement. I'm sort of pushing for next week. I imagine that probably more likely the week after, but the door's still open for next week against West Coast. If not, it'll be the week after.
What was the process with it? Because it feels like it was late. It was there was a delay, wasn't there? You went and saw the surgeon for a splint, and he went.
So it was. I had a sublux joint in my middle finger that basically my finger just kept dislocating, and it was from doing very little. It wasn't really sore. It was just really loose. So. Went and saw the surgeon to see if we could fix that up, and he tried with a splint, and unfortunately I had a bit of bone missing in my finger that was making it hard for my finger to stay in place. So we had to take a bone graft out of my hand and put it into that joint so that the joint was more stable.
How has the rehab process been? You've not had a lot of experience with it, certainly not with the bone graft, without other things in the past. But
yeah, the bone graft was extremely painful, something that I probably wasn't prepared for. It's funny though, because I went in to see the surgeon on the Thursday morning, and I thought I was going to fly to Perth the next day and play against Fremantle over there in the JLT, and within 4 hours I was under the knife, within 6 or 7 hours I was recovering and looking to go home, and obviously my season had been flipped on its head, so I wasn't really prepared for the recovery of that, and probably didn't treat it with enough respect, and found the first 4 or 5 days to be extremely painful. But since then, I've been fine, improved every day, and looking forward to testing it out next week.
Talk us through that recovery process, because I think I'll put myself in this category that, you've got a bad finger, you can do everything else, and you'll be fine as soon as it heals. Is it as simple as that, or the recovery process means there's some things you can't do, particularly early after the operation? What's that process been like?
Yeah, the first 7 days, 7 or 8 days, was basically I was inactive. I couldn't sweat, so with the bone graft, and obviously they have to cut pretty deep into my hand to get the bone out. There's a risk of infection, which, you know, could lead to recovery times of, you know, in excess of 6-7 weeks to help that infection. So that was a really crucial part of the recovery. Once I got through that, I've just been running, doing a lot of running, trying to handle the footies as much as I possibly can, obviously with my right hand that's not injured, and a heap of kicking and stuff. I've done, you know, a lot of training. I don't feel like I've missed too much, but it's nice to be out there now, you know, finally grabbing footies and marking, and I'll look to start tackling towards the end of the week and really push for selection next week.
Speaking to Nick Maddinson, now this is a different sport, but he had a... almost like a, well, it is, it's a metal plate put in his arm, and when he tries to play some of the shots he likes to play, he can feel the thing in his arm, and it's had to see him slightly adjust the way he plays. When you take a bit of bone out of your hand and put it in another part of your hand, does it actually affect your ability to catch the ball or do things, even with your cutlery, eating your food? What's it like?
Oh, well, yeah, it definitely has changed, obviously, day to day. But once I get back, the reason why we did the surgery was because it wasn't a quick fix. The surgery was to basically make my finger back to normal again. So they usually say 6 to 7 weeks for recovery, and then, you know, you've got a full functioning finger. I'm obviously hoping for about 5, and my finger should be, it just about is full functioning. Obviously, I'll keep rehabbing it, and it's almost like a knee joint, and that's how the specialists have described it to me. My finger joint is basically a knee joint, so if you think about a knee and you go for a run and it swells up, all you got to do is ice it and get the swelling out. So my finger's no different. I'm going to have days where it's going to be good and days where it's going to be bad. So
what does rehab for a finger mean?
Putty, a lot of putty work.
Yeah,
it's all very exciting, mate. I've got to strengthen it. My range in my finger now is pretty good because obviously it's been in the splint for 4 weeks, so it's been straight for about 4 weeks. Now I've got to start making a fist, and that's probably the biggest difficulty for me is going to be tackling. So
yeah,
I've got to prove to the fitness guys and the coaches that I can tackle.
I had a finger injury a couple of years ago and had the putty system for the rehab. My son liked it. So he was a puttyman for a little while, and to the point where he took it to bed one night and all the putty melted under his pillowcase.
And that was the end of the putty.
And it was the end of the pillowcase too, funnily enough. It wasn't welcome. We couldn't find it. Couldn't get it back. It was a disaster. So just message for you, just don't sleep with the putty.
I don't love it that much.
But you do love your footy club, and your footy club had a big year last year. In the end, it fell a little bit short, which we've discussed. But I want to find out how different the atmosphere is, or how similar the atmosphere is at the footy club, or has been through the pre-season. Because last year we talked about how different it was, and we got a really positive outcome for your footy club. Has it changed again this year, or is it very similar to the build-up from last season?
Pretty similar. It's obviously, our personnel hasn't changed a whole lot. We've added, you know, draftees, Beamsy's come back, and Jordan Rufford's come on board. So in terms of that, our personnel, coaching style is pretty similar.
Yeah.
Our game plan's pretty similar. Our philosophy is pretty similar. So yeah, it's just been our transition from last year to this year is basically about getting over the grand final loss and moving on to 2019. So
has that been easy or difficult?
It certainly wasn't easy. But I think most guys are at peace with what happened last year and, you know, the effort we put forth, and I think we're pretty content with how the season went. It's just we fell, you know, one kick short, which we won't dwell on now. But we've identified things that can make us better as a footy team, and we've worked on that over the summer. And yeah, we probably didn't see it last week. They didn't shine through last week, but I think in due course they will.
So a reflection on what you expected or wanted from the first couple of weeks of the season on the back of the off season and what happened last year. Were you disappointed with last week?
Yeah, well, I think we're all disappointed, yeah, definitely. It was our effort wasn't really as good as we've seen it. There was none of that manic pressure that we'd seen last year from all players. Obviously, we're pretty messy with the ball in hand, a few turnovers in the back half, but that's something you can live with. Mm-hmm. You know, we play a game of footy that we try to take the game on, and we want to score as heavily as possible. But yeah, I think our effort was something that, I don't know if it was the build-up to the game got to us, or, you know, because there's so much hype around round one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys maybe burn a few tickets before getting to the actual start of the game, but yeah, it didn't look like Collingwood footy from last year. So we'll look to rectify that tomorrow night.
That's interesting. We talked about that a lot last week about this whole round one thing, that everyone talks about round one being right for round one and playing in round one. When and Whitey's got a theory that momentum is really important at the start of a season. If you lose that momentum, it's difficult to regather, or takes a while to regather. Mm. I don't particularly subscribe to it, but it is this focus so heavily because it's the first game in 5 months or 6 months or whatever it is for footy fans, for media, for players. What's it like in the build-up to round one for you? Now, clearly you had a different one this year because you weren't playing, but did you sense that anxiety and tension from your teammates?
Not necessarily inside the footy club, but outside it's really hard to get away from it. It's almost like a build-up to a final, to be honest. You get the fans down at training. Obviously, they're super keen to start the season well. Obviously, there's a lot of media, especially coming off the season we had. There's a lot of media attention on our footy club. So it just doesn't feel like round 10. It just feels very different to that. Guys, their bodies are feeling really good. So they want to, you know, you probably feel like Hercules and you run out there and do what you want. And sometimes you take your mind off what's important and what your role entails, and that can be detrimental to the team. And we just didn't get enough guys that were solid contributors last week. And yeah, we've obviously had open conversations about that, and I'm sure we'll see a spike tomorrow night.
That's the beauty of round one. The very next week is round two.
Exactly. Yeah, right. But the reality is with Collingwood, it's Geelong, Richmond and then West Coast. That's a tough start.
Yeah.
Even though you played off in the grand final. So starting the season well is important for obvious reasons. Just before we go to the breaks, it's sort of relevant to what we're talking about. Recapturing that magic of last year. You almost had this intangible last year that got you on this amazing ride. Recapturing that again, that magic, is that going to be difficult, or is it something that you can get back quite quickly?
Are you talking about on field or off field?
Oh, I think it's probably both, isn't it?
Well, the way that I'll answer that is no, it's not going to be difficult because it was genuine. It was real.
Good answer.
And I'm not just saying that because it sounds really good. It is genuine. The footy club, as I said, the personnel hasn't changed a whole heap. The guys that come in, I think they feel what we felt last year, and they buy into it, they subscribe to it, because it's like it's infectious. It feels good having guys that care about you and care about other people, and yes, and that just for me that translates to on field. For it starts off field, the way you know, the way we are around each other during training and week to week, and then that it sort of transfers to on field and into performance. So I don't think it will be difficult to get a hold of again. I think we've definitely got it there. It's just a matter of you guys seeing it on the field.
That is a heartening response as far as I'm concerned. I like that. 22 past 7, Taylor Adams with us from the Magpies and in the Sanctum again for 2019. We're wrapped about that. We'll get that finger right and get him out there sooner rather than later, but we've got plenty more to talk about after this on RSN 927.
We'll get the questions about the prelim now, and we'll get the questions about grand final next week. There's no doubt about that, but they're largely irrelevant. Midfields that get the job done are the ones that are prepared to get their hands dirty and work the hardest both ways. We got shown up in that regard, so we've got some work to do there.
The coach of the Magpies, Nathan Buckley, reiterating what Taylor Adams was telling us before the break, got outworked by the Cats. And I don't think that'll be happening again this week against the Tigers, or that's certainly what they would be planning for tomorrow night at the MCG to kick off round two. Taylor is with us in the Inner Sanctum again in 2019, and it's great to have him. Bucks has been a sort of little bit off Broadway through the off-season. Taylor, he was hanging out with his family. He was off travelling. He didn't come back till was start of January or late December, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was back. He was back for the start of pre-season, and then towards the end of December. Yeah, so he had a bit of time away with the family, and I think most coaches need that because it's such a tense year. You know, from the start of pre-season to the end of pre-season, end of the season for them, it's almost like 10 or 11 months. By the time they finish up their reviews and that sort of thing, it's a long time. So I think it's good for the playing group as well to hear from a different voice. Gives the other coaches a chance to, you know, work on their craft as a coach. And, yeah, we've got some excellent coaches down there that are assisting Bucks.
I was going to ask you that. How different is it for the playing group when the senior coach is not there? And regardless of what relationship any player has with the senior coach always seems to carry an aura about them. And when they're there, things seem to be different. When he wasn't there, was it a different environment for you?
Yes and no. You sort of don't realise that he's not there at times because
he'd be flat to hear that.
No, I already. I think it's something that he's probably worked on, is being able to float behind the scenes and you know, not be the only voice heard. So, you're going about your business yourself, and pre-season is a lot about the players. We hear a lot from Banger Harvey, Brenton Sanderson, Gary Hocking, who's come on board last year, and Justin Longmuir. So they were sort of running our pre-season until probably a month before JLT. Then Buck sort of took over, and he was the main voice we heard.
How's he coping? Not as many runners and messages getting out onto the field. He's quite staunch about not using the LED screens on the side of the ground. Like, he's only one of the few teams that aren't doing it.
Yeah, we spoke about that. I think the fact that there's no runners obviously just puts more pressure on us as players to be across what's going on. And yeah, we're well led. Penrose is basically a coach out there. He sees the game as well as anyone that I've come across, and we worked on that. Howie, Dunny, Steele, and myself, as the other leaders, worked on that over the preseason to make sure that we can help set up the team like Pendles does. And we've got guys that are learning as well. We've got an emerging leader group that, really strong leadership that we rely on as well. So although the runner can't get out there as much as he possibly would like to, as much as probably Bucks would like him to, I think we're pretty well set up to combat most things on the field.
Marcus Bonapelli was in here yesterday and talked about some of the adjustments that they've made in regards to rotations of how players come on and off.
Mm.
Did you have, or have you had to make any adjustments on how you do it? Because Collingwood seemed to be one club that were quite good with their rotations, that good players weren't getting caught on the bench at important times.
Well, yeah, we have a rotation system that pretty similar to last year. So you sort of, we got into a groove last year where you knew when you're sort of coming off and you try to get someone fresh off the bench within, 3 or 4 minutes, so they weren't sitting there for too long. It's as simple as if we need to get Pendles on or Steele on or Darcy Moore on, something like that, you get the closest player and shuffle from there. Make it work.
It's interesting for me to, Essendon have been spoken quite a bit about that pressure around the ball and contested ball. Do you think the runners not being there and delivering a message and maybe being able to give some players a bit of a kick, has that had an effect on their ability to bring that in the game?
No, I reckon that's a cop-out. If that's something that someone said, I reckon that's a bit of a cop-out. I watched the Essendon game and wasn't too dissimilar to our game. They were uncharacteristic and so were we. So I expect them to bounce back. I'm obviously good mates with Dev Smith, and I know that he wouldn't have been happy with the performance that they put up. And I'm sure that, we'll see a spike from them as well.
I think it's interesting, and half would bring you in as a coach of AFLW, that when you know the intensity isn't there around the ball, do you know it at the time, every time, or is it sometimes that it doesn't, you have to wait until you're told after the game or in the review where you go, oh God, I didn't even realise that was happening as it was happening. So as a player, do you know every time on...
No, probably not. It's probably not as staunch as what you guys may see on the TV or sitting up in the stands. You always feel like you're trying really hard, and then you get to the quarter time break and you see that you're negative 10 in contested possession, and you get a rocket. and that's when you go, oh, okay.
And that was probably my point about the runner on field, like getting a rocket perhaps before that break when you've got the ability to...
I reckon if you come to the bench every 10 minutes, there's always a midfielder on the bench that can come in and say, guys, let's lift here. But I reckon you know if you're going that badly, like you feel it. You can feel it if you're not really getting a cut, lay your hand on an opposition player, or you're not getting the ball yourself. You can definitely feel that. But
there are times where you just can't get it. You can't get that intensity that you sort of almost becomes manufactured. That just days you just have days.
Yeah,
or is that a cop out?
Well, that can definitely happen to individuals, but if that happens to your whole team, you just won't win the game.
Yeah.
So that's why you need depth. You need guys that you can throw in there if we need a spark. So we've obviously we'll use Geordie to go in that role. Bigger body, just to throw him in there and hopefully create some energy.
What about from a coaching point of view? Do you know all the time whether your team is on or off, or can you sense it?
Yeah, you get a pretty good read. From a coaching perspective, when you're looking at the big picture as opposed to being a player and just focusing on the minutiae and what you're doing, or just what's happening around you a little bit, you're seeing the big picture from a coaching perspective, and you know really quickly what's happening in terms of effort.
How quickly can you then change it as a coach?
Well, that's the challenge. We've still got access to a runner, so I'm very happy to...
Who's never off the field.
Who very, really, very, really gets the message right. But he's out there having a go. We love him. So we can do that. Or I'm standing on the bench these days as well, and we're not having crowds of 70,000 people just yet. So I can yell and make the point very clear very quickly. So I get a bit better access to the playing and the ability to change things than I reckon these guys can do, just through situational and circumstances.
Because it was a funny one with Collingwood on Friday night, because you obviously were always in the game, but it didn't change. It just was. It was like a 6 out of 10 the whole way through. It was never. It was sort of we're never winning waves like Melbourne did, where they went up and down, up and down. You were just always just hovering that sort of 6 out of 10 for most of the night.
Yeah, it is a funny one, because sometimes you have to watch the game behind the goals to see what's actually happening.
Yep.
And we obviously did that in review, and it becomes blatantly obvious what went wrong. So, I think even for coaches, sometimes it's hard to see. See, not necessarily the impact around the footy, but, you know, how you're moving behind the ball, your setups, is everyone in the right position? That's really hard to see from a coach's point of view from sitting on the wing.
I wonder whether there'll be a time where assistant coaches actually position themselves at different spots around the ground.
Yeah, it's a good question, I reckon.
It is. Maybe you get a different evolution. Perspective. Yeah. Hey, Taylor, just turning our minds towards the game against the Tigers, obviously the huge loss of Alex Rant is going to be massive for them. But you guys experienced that a lot last year with a number of big names out. How do you approach covering such a big player within a setup within the team?
Yeah, well, I saw that Damien Hardwick was quoted saying something like, it will take 22 of us to cover him. And I think what he means by that is, obviously, they can't play 41 blokes or 42 blokes.
I think what he means
is that they play a team defense, a team brand of footy. So they'll be able to fill his spot by that, in that vein. But obviously, a star player, 5-time All-Australian consecutively, big out for them. But yeah, we felt that. We had Lyndon Dunn last year, Matt Scharenberg, who both went down with knees, and Dunny's back this week. So. It goes quick, and you obviously saw how positive Alex was post the game, and through all the media attention, he sort of tried to deflect it away from him, although it is quite a big story, Alex, FYI. Yeah.
Nice to show you.
Great to see the Dunny Brush back this week for the Magpies. Yes. Can't wait to see you back out there as well, and we look forward to seeing the Pies in action tomorrow night at the MCG. Go get them, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Taylor Adams, you'll hear from him plenty of times through the Inner Sanctum.